Bear Down Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Pat the Designer, Courtney Cronin here at Hallis. Courtney, we got to hear from the coordinators today, and they seem like they're going to figure it all out heading into this Colts game. I'm excited to see what this Bears team is going to do this coming Sunday.
Yeah, it seems, I don't know, like 2 weeks in, the answers apparently are so simple, yet seem so complex. So we'll see. I mean, there's some very obvious fixes that at least you'd like to think would probably play out in real time against the Colts. But then again, the Colts probably know you're trying to run on them because everybody has run on them successfully through the first 2 weeks of the season. So we'll see if this really, I mean, this is going to be like DEFCON level one come Monday if they can't run on this defense.
Man,
so we shall see.
Listen, if somehow DeAndre Swift comes out of here and he still doesn't have a total of 100 yards in the season, I am going to be banging the you never pay running backs again drum so loud people are going to be sick of me. We'll talk about all that more in today's episode of the Chicago Bears podcast. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. Let's start off with this. Let's start off with the game itself. We've got a lot of injuries heading into this. We don't yet have the injury report. We're recording this just after they kind of kick us out of practice. But yesterday there was a lot of limited. There was a lot of four very tough DNPs for me on the Bears injury report. When you look at the fact that we saw Tevin Jenkins added to that list, concern starts to raise, especially with some of the struggles here on the O-line.
True, and it's a thigh bruise. Matt Eberflus did not really seem all that concerned about it keeping him out for Sunday, but I think it was good to see him back out there today. We saw him during stretching. We'll see how much he's able to actually do at practice, but you know, both their guards are there. Yep. Him, Nate Davis, like at least you have your starting five. Now, is it the best starting five? Doesn't sound like they're going to be making any changes to it right now, but you're not having to tap into your depth if Tevin can play this weekend.
Right.
That means that, you know, Matt Pryor, if he plays at all, I mean, I think it's really only on like field goal and like PAT when they have him out there. They want a bigger body to block. But regardless, like it's a good sign, at least for Tevin, that he is back at practice in some capacity. But the one that is still alarming is Keenan Allen.
Yeah.
Still on the bike.
That is the name. Keenan Allen still on the bike. And I thought what concerned me a little bit yesterday when we got a chance to talk to Flus was the fact that you heard him basically say, this is not a re-aggravating issue. This is a pain tolerance issue. And Keenan Allen, somebody who we've seen throughout his career, is willing to play through the injury. Do you feel like the Bears are possibly downplaying the severity of this injury a little bit? Because if it's just a pain tolerance thing, I think Keenan Allen would be fighting through it.
And pain tolerance can be different for everybody, right? That's what Roma Dunze said he had to play through last week, that structurally his knee was okay, but it's how much pain can you handle? And, you know, playing a full game where you're playing nearly 94% of snaps or whatever it was, like, what are you going to feel like the day after the game? Are you going to have any sort of setbacks? For him, it was no. With Keenan, I mean, it's a foot injury. It's like what we believe to be plantar fasciitis. And that's tough because he's been dealing with it, you know, for weeks now, dating back to the preseason. We don't know exactly because we haven't talked to him or really seen him. Like, was this on the overthrow that he had against Tennessee, that Caleb had for Keenan Allen against Tennessee? It seems like that's where he re-aggravated it. But, like, what's the process like of him being able to plant off his foot, to move around, to do all of the things that you need to as a receiver to have mobility? Like, it could be pain tolerance, but it could also be a mobility issue, too.
Yeah.
Like, are you slower? Are you a tad, you know, like, tad late in, like, your releases and all of that? Like, I don't think that it might not be risk of re-injury, but it could also be it's hindering your ability to play the position, which is why, you know, you can only probably do so much in fighting through pain tolerance issues if that truly is what it is.
And that's something, you know, in the preseason, I think we kind of attributed it to, you know, he's going through the motions. I know I did. That first game, right, it did seem like he was a little bit slower. Mm-hmm. And through the preseason, he seemed a little bit slower. I remember, like, everybody was like, is Keenan Allen fat? I was like, he's not fat, guys. Like, I don't know where you're getting at, but he's definitely moving slower with the foot. So maybe there is that to be added to it. Somebody else who popped up on the injury list heading into this Colts game, who I think, listen, if you can play through it, if you can have the pain tolerance, You have to step up. This is your moment to help out your rookie quarterback. You had an opportunity to do it last week and weren't able to do it in the end zone. That's Roma Dunze. Sure. MCL, I think, you know, Shane's got to kind of figure out personnel and certain things. I don't like that the final play of the game is a comeback where Roma Dunze basically has to cut and plant and turn around and run back. There was a miscommunication there, but, you know, maybe he's healthy enough to do it, maybe he's not. Is this the week that Rome kind of has to have his week? Because opposite of DJ Moore, you know that's going to be the focus. You're the other guy that's out there. That's the number 9 overall pick. That, guess what? Top 10 means eventually you got to start making some plays.
Yeah, and he knows that, you know, the ball in the end zone, that's his. Yeah. Like, he's got to catch that. Like, I honestly think the conversation around Caleb Williams would be so much different if there were two passes that were caught. Keenan Allen's at the goal line against Tennessee, yeah, and then the ball that hit off the top of Rome's hand in the end zone. Like, that, those are two touchdowns right there, and Caleb's stat line looks a little different. And we're talking about a quarterback who already had thrown his first passing touchdown, which he has not to date.
Yeah.
But to your point, It really should be your number 9 overall pick if he's healthy enough to, you know, when we've seen him through, I mean, he was full participant or was limited yesterday, full?
Limited participation yesterday.
But, like, he's, you know, he's full in games.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of that slow playing to get him, like, don't wear him out during the week, get him ready for the game, that's the right approach. But he's got to be able to come through in those moments. So if there are these contested catches, I know that there's been some back and forth discourse about, you know, what was said about Caleb needs to just throw Rome the contested catch balls because he can't get open right now.
Yeah.
He led FBS last year in contested catches. I don't think that would be an issue.
Well, and that's
if that, like, ends up being kind of like how he makes an impact, but he's got to do that. I think,
yeah,
there's been some growing pains for him the first 2 weeks of the season, just like there has been for Caleb, but you've got to find somebody opposite DJ Moore because DJ's probably going to get those 10 targets once again.
Yeah.
We'll see if Caleb can be more accurate than nailing 6 of those for DJ Moore and DJ too. But, like, I really think this has got to be a, because there's just no, like, right now it's starting to feel, or at least it looks right now, kind of like last year where it's a DJ Moore show and then everybody else. There was a moment where DeAndre Carter looked like, I mean, the catch down that he drew for DPI down near the goal line. You know, the other third down catch, which, you know, Caleb should have made that throw. Like, he was in position, but you've got to find somebody else that can be the 1B to your 1A. And it just doesn't feel like they've been able to iron out who that is in week 1 and 2, when it should very well be Roma Dunze.
Yeah. I mean, listen, we started the game with DeAndre Carter, right, being the guy, and we're like, all right, I'll take this.
Lot, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, as long as you're moving the offense down the field. But to me, that is the part where you have to get, again, the personnel right. I think even some of the things, I was trying to get another question into Shane today. I really wanted to ask him about the Gerald Everett tight ends, where Rome is blocking the tight end screens. And I'm just like, why isn't that flipped? Like, give me Rome one that. Find easy ways to get these guys going. I don't think that's something that we've seen through week 1 and 2, where the easy pass, the easy dump down to DeAndre Swift, or the easy, you know, screen pass to Roma Dunze, who, he has struggled getting open early on here, but you know he's got the speed. You know he's got the size. You know he can fight through some of these tackles. If you're putting him out there, you would assume he's healthy enough to play.
Sure.
Maybe he's still a little banged up. But, you know, you got to get easy passes. How you got him involved in preseason? That end around that he's able to take, what was it, 30 yards down the field at the end of it? Find easy ways to get these young guys involved. To me, that is a massive thing that the Bears have to do heading into Indianapolis
here. Yeah, and I mean, this is the prime opportunity to run the ball too. Like, I know we make jokes about it just because it seems so obvious, but when you have a team that's giving up an average of 237 yards a game, league worst, they're super injured. Like, the new one on the injury report today is not new, but, like, who's not practicing is Latu. Their defense bends,
yeah,
and their pass rush is taking a hit. They just put DeForest Buckner on injured reserve. I believe Kenny Moore is playing through a thumb injury. Like, defensively, they're super banged up right now. If they can't figure out a way, even if they have, like, there's going to be some push and pull here. Even if they get heavy boxes, loaded boxes, you should be able to open up the passing game. Like, this is a team that has shown you a major deficiency on defense, so they're probably going to have to sell out one way or the other to, you know, try to keep this as even as they can, and that's going to open up a big opportunity potentially for Caleb Williams if they are trying to stop the run. But what we've seen through 2 weeks is that they can't.
Yeah.
And that's a big problem, but it should be to the Bears' benefit that they're able to get DeAndre Swift going, to mix in some personnel there too. Because you bring up, like, you know, usage and all of that. We still don't really have a clear answer on what was happening with Roschon Johnson last week. I know Shane Waldron said he was, you know, oh, well, HG had him on special teams. He played 15 snaps, and it's like 50% of special team snaps. Well, why?
He's a running back.
You know, but it's just
and
like.
And you're trying to run power with DeAndre Swift.
Yeah, Khalil Herbert and Travis Homer, like, getting, like, crumbs.
Yeah.
And then DeAndre, it just wasn't working with Swift. And those third downs where it felt like, oh, it's a prime opportunity for Roschon Johnson, yet you have Travis Homer in there. I was just really surprised by some of that.
It's very confusing. I mean, early on in the season, it's been the one thing that the utilization of the personnel in the right position. I bring up the tight end screen because to me, I think there are better people you can use on that. Put the big bodies up front, you bring in DeAndre Swift, and all of a sudden you've got a better opportunity to possibly break something off. Swift's biggest play of preseason, heck, his only play of preseason, is a screen pass underneath that breaks something big off because you're utilizing that guy the right way in a way that he's successful at. Roschon Johnson, the same way. You bring up those third down passes, you're running DeAndre Swift up the middle 2 weeks in a row versus Tavondre Sweat, and a defensive line that has Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter on it. You're sitting here trying to force him to be something that he has not been on any team he's been on, which is the power back. And yet you've got this guy who's got massive thighs out there and yet just knows how to push the pocket. And you don't want to put him on the field to try and push things forward for a yard. You're putting Khalil Herbert out there, who, let's be honest, is an outside zone guy.
Yeah, it's not great in pass protection either.
And so it's just, I don't understand some of the usage that we've seen from Shane Waldron. I do have a problem with a lot of how these guys have been used early on, because not if you're going to go all out on the pass, go all out on the pass. But you got to have those guys underneath. The moments that you do run on third and one, you got to take advantage of the big bodies down there that you have, like a guy like Roschon Johnson. Travis Homer, where'd that come from? Like, don't tell me you're just playing favorites here because he was with you in Seattle, because that's how it feels.
I mean, it certainly feels like he has a leg up because he was with him in Seattle 2 years ago.
Gerald Everett, too.
Same thing. Yeah, it's definitely. I wonder if that's a comfort thing too. Just like, all right, I know how I can use these guys. I want to try to get this team in a rhythm, and it's not working. But like that was, you know, that might be like the impetus behind why their usage is what it is. But this is week three is as much of an opportunity when we talk about Caleb Williams. Like, can he get on track? It's as much of an opportunity for Shane Waldron as a play caller to figure out what is the identity of this offense. Can we start to manipulate other teams' weaknesses with our strength? We don't know what their strength is yet because they've shown us very little to give you an idea of, okay, they could be a great rushing team that's going to take the weight off Caleb Williams while they're working on the passing game. Or, oh, well, we do know they are making a more concerted effort to throw the ball, but you're not seeing a great passing attack by any stretch. You're seeing very incremental improvement. I mean, I guess a little bit's better than nothing, but it's still, this is such a good opportunity for a team that is 1-1 facing a team that's 0-2 with a young quarterback who, you know, the Bears don't really know a whole lot about. There's a lot of unknowns there with Anthony Richardson, but we do know, at least in terms of the scheme, like defensively, they should have the edge.
Yeah.
To give themselves the opportunity offensively to finally start, you know, having your way with teams a little bit, like they should this week. It should be a no-brainer what the strategy is, but that comes into, like, let's not overthink the personnel usage. Let's not constantly be in 11 when there could be a better opportunity to bring other guys in to max protect, to make sure your quarterback's okay, and just simplifying some of the route concepts to get him some easy completions.
I thought it was so interesting today with Shane Waldron when I got a chance to ask him, you know, about being in 12 and 13 personnel, maybe a little bit more to help protect Caleb. And he was like, well, you got to, you know, you don't want to just overdo it with one thing. It takes all 11 guys. And you got to do it when the situation calls for it. Caleb Williams was sacked 7 times last week.
Yeah.
Shane, I don't know how to tell you. I think the situation called for it a little bit.
Yeah.
They were in 12 and 13 personnel sometimes out there.
Well, what about your guys that are blocking? Like, to me, you know, when Mercedes Lewis is in the game, we know what the play is going to be. It's probably going to be a run play. But, like, what about keeping guys in on a more consistent basis until you're comfortable? Like, and if your pass protection is as bad as it is with your starting five offensive line, that's the easiest workaround imaginable. Yeah. It just takes away some of your other capabilities of what you're going to do downfield. But that's okay if it means you're going to run the ball a lot. Like, what's the harm in that?
Listen, Court, I told you when we hired him, when he got here, I was like, he's going to have that thing in the air. He's throwing the football.
And that's okay if you can, if you've already established a strong run game to allow yourself to do that. But there's going to be, like, if there's no play action opportunities on Sunday, you're going to know it's because they're not running the ball effectively. And that's a big problem for a team that has shown, hey, we want to get Caleb out in the move. We want to roll him away from pressure. We want to put him in an advantageous situation where he can utilize, you know, his athleticism on, you know, outside of the pocket, making those plays, because we know he's going to throw in those moments.
Yeah.
And you're just not seeing it yet.
And I think you said something even there, right, where if Mercedes Lewis is in the game, we know it's a run. You're at a point so bad offensively right now protecting. Put Mercedes Lewis out there on pass plays to help block, because he's good at blocking. Have Roshan Johnson in the game pass plays.
I would think that he'd be relied upon a lot more this week for pass protection.
I mean, how not? He was so good at it last season. You can't tell me that Travis Homer's good at it. Neither Khalil Herbert. DeAndre Swift is okay. He's solid. I think he's been better in the past than he's been this season. But, like, you have these guys on the team that literally are the answer, and it just literally feels like through 2 weeks, Shane Waldron has tried to fit a square peg in a round hole.
Yeah, and you can't do that in week three.
Yeah.
Not when the opportunity is as great as it is to steal one on the road here. A game that I know the Colts are favored by like a point and a half, but the Bears feel like a better team, and a healthier team too. I mean, they're really lucky on defense. They don't have the same sort of injuries that the Colts are dealing with right now. And there's a prime opportunity to just chip away at some of the things that you know that you have to be better at. You can run the ball on this team. You can set up opportunities for play action, for bootlegs, for, you know, getting Caleb in a situation where doesn't have Coleman Shelton in his lap after 2 seconds. Like, there's ways to do it that I just don't think we saw enough of an effort towards in weeks one and two for a number of different reasons. But now, you know, like what DJ said yesterday, about it takes about 2 to 3 games to get a quarterback and a wide receiver on the same page. You got to put your money where your mouth is if you're the Bears this week. Like, it has to start looking a little bit more polished, a lot more polished than it did the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, and I think even to that conversation, I'm glad you brought the DJ thing up, because I thought about last week. Of course, you know, the frustration we saw from DJ not getting things going. Mm-hmm. Again, the easy things. We saw this last season. 3 weeks of basically just like, how do we get DJ more involved with an offense, which is by far the most confusing thing. This is great. I get it. There's tough dudes guarding him. You got L'Jarius Sneed last week. That makes things difficult,
sure.
Right? But, dog, like, you got to know he's going to beat his guy more times than not. Throw him the football, or do what they did last year in Washington, which is when you kind of saw Justin Fields and him come together and have that big moment early on. Short passes with DJ, right? Short passes, screen passes, sure. Different things like that, that just get him the ball in his hands and he can turn something into magic. And then all of a sudden we come through at the end of the day and go, oh, look at that. The offense worked. Like, it feels like we're trying to do too much complicated stuff early on, and we asked Shane about that today as well, right? And his response was kind of, you know, Caleb can handle this much information at once.
We're not going to try to take anything off his plate, or, you know, they're comfortable with the load that they have. And, I mean, feels like he's got a lot of autonomy within, like, what he's able to call at the line, too, which is a lot. I mean,
7 audibles, I believe, in that week 2 game.
Apparently, he's, you know, for a rookie quarterback, you don't really expect them to have that much, like, on their plate.
Yeah.
But, like, clearly he's shown them something. But if it, you know, at some point, you've got to, I just don't think they'd ever be willing to say, oh, no, we're taking things off his plate, because it's going to look like an indictment on the quarterback.
Yeah,
I mean, there are ways to simplify things within what you're asking him to do that aren't going to feel like you're just, like, stripping him of his power and you're trying to make him, you know, trying to dumb it down. Like, half-field reads, quarter-field reads. I don't know if you even need to go that far, because he can go through his progressions. It's just the other stuff that you have to do. Simplify it for the 10 other guys to make his job easier. I think they'll be in a much better place.
100%. You also brought up the fact that it feels like this defense has the advantage here coming Sunday. I mean, listen, you get Anthony Richardson out in space, you know he's dangerous, but we're really good at coverage. So I think that having a spy on Anthony Richardson all day is going to be something that the Bears are probably going to do. more than likely to be one of the two linebackers, I would think, and they're both really good at tackling. So I'm not as worried about Anthony Richardson's legs, and we know he can throw it through the roof, but we still don't know if he can hit his open receivers.
Yeah.
So I'm not that worried about it. Only thing that does concern me is we saw a name who's been a massive name for the Chicago Bears through 2 weeks here pop up on that injury report, and that's Andrew Billings. I mean, like, how he's been able to improve his game, how he's become a pass rusher out of nowhere. I didn't even know he could become a pass rusher out here in year seven, so I'm excited by that. What does it mean to this defense if Big Bill is limited even in this game?
Yeah, I mean, it's dangerous because he's your starting nose tackle, and
Zach Pickens also DNP yesterday. So
I saw him in the training room earlier, like just at practice. Like, that's, remember when Matt Eberflus said after the Kansas City game, like in the preseason, that the tackle depth is worrisome.
Yeah.
It's a situation like this where it plays out. Okay, you've got a guy show up on the injury report. You hope that, okay, it might just be something he has to work through during the week and that he'll be able to go. You can't afford to be without him. Even Eric Washington today saying when they're talking about the rush plan, everything starts with him because he has the quickest line to the quarterback. That's true. I mean, the false start that he drew, I think it was the center for the Texans.
Yep.
Like, I don't know if it was him yelling move or him, you know, just being...
The move is great. The move is great.
With his presence, but like he's a big part of what they do up front and why this pass rush has been able to be fortified this year. And if they don't have him, that's a big problem because I don't know who... Chris Williams?
Quickly, because DeMarcus Walker is also dealing with some injuries, so you hope that he's back this week.
You wouldn't have Walker in there like for at that position for the entire game.
Yeah, that's true.
I think that, like, that's the one that's at the under the radar, like not like at like a red alert level yet, but just keep an eye on it because if they were somehow without him, that'd be pretty problematic, I would imagine, because teams are going to try to run on you at that point too.
He was out there stretching. I mean, that's the only part we get to see. So we did see him out there stretching. Mm-hmm. So hopefully we see him be a full participant today, or at least a full participant by tomorrow. You're at the beginning of the season, and like you said, the Bears have been pretty fortunate to this point, injury-wise. I mean, there's some teams that are decimated with injury out here. And
the 49ers right now.
Preseason's important. I don't know what to tell you guys. Like,
a rash of injuries, like, it's so humbling. I mean, there's the hip drop tackle stuff, which is one thing, but then, like, some of the other injuries that had have shown up. I mean, if you're a team at the 49ers and you lose the NFL's Offensive Player of the Year, you lose Deebo Samuel for however long. George Kittle left the game with, like, apparently some pretty serious cramps. Like, so I don't know if that's a situation you're going to have to monitor. That's, like, you know, 70% of your skill guys right there.
It's the Brandon Ayuk show.
But, like, think about how lucky the Bears have been outside of Keenan Allen. I mean, certainly to beat the Blitz, I'm sure they wish they could have had him. But, like, to only have one significant injury that's costing somebody playing time right now and being as healthy as they are, like, that's just not normal. That wasn't normal for them last year.
Yeah. No, I mean, you started off last season decimated with injury. Yep. It does feel like the Bears are in a better spot right now, and especially coming into this Colts game. It feels like their schedule now, it feels like the Bears are kind of on the right side of those injuries, too, because you got the Colts this week, who their defense is completely banged up. Latulate, who you said is the newest addition. You got the Rams next week, who are
super decimated.
I mean, it's over. If they don't get Puka, and they're not getting him back anytime soon.
No, both of them, him and Cooper Kupp, are on IR, and their offensive line is super, super injured. Like, if you're just looking at it from a schedule standpoint, these are the two games that you should be able to steal.
Yeah.
You should be able to come out of these games at 3-1 on the season and feeling really good going into a game where you're going to be playing Andy Dalton and the Panthers.
Oh, I can't wait for that game.
Like,
I can't wait for that one.
I mean, it's breaking right now in their favor. It's like just that the Bears have to take advantage of that.
What is the conversation? Because that is one place I wanted to go with this, because it does feel I'm predicting a Bears win this Sunday. It does feel like the Bears should be able to get this one. Rams feels really good right now because I don't know how they're going to move the ball offensively. And then you got the Panthers. If we get through that Panthers game and this Bears team is 4-1 and the Caleb Williams situation is kind of maybe a little bit better, maybe a little bit worse some games, but just kind of still in this middling space, what's the conversation around this team?
It's gonna if that's the case where they've won games, like, but they're 4-1 basically on the backs of their defense, it's gonna be what's going on with it's the same conversation that we're having now about but extending it into Caleb Williams isn't living up to expectations. Now, those are expectations that are measured differently by different groups of people.
Yeah.
If he's showing consistent improvement and the offensive line's still a struggle, then is that really on him?
No.
But it just kind of depends. Like, what does his output look like within this offense? Are there any moments where he is the reason that they're, you know, in net yard, like positive net yardage, like winning games?
Yeah.
If he's not showing at that point, then you're kind of like, well, maybe he's further away from that than we thought. But is it independent of the circumstances, or is it because of the circumstances? Like, if they're 4-1 and this offense is towards the bottom of the league still and you're leaning on the defense, well, okay, that's great that you can do that. But then it also raises the questions about, man, what's it going to take for Caleb to get on track and for this offense to get on track? Because if you go more than a quarter of the season and it doesn't look like it should, then that's kind of cause for concern, I would say.
No, 100%. I think the thing for me would be, especially with the offensive line, and I see all of you in the comments, right? No, you told me he was going to be generational, so he should be able to overcome all of these problems.
Here's
my thing. There's been one guy. We've seen one guy in the last, 25 years basically be able to go, maybe two. I'll throw Big Ben in there as well. Basically be able to go, my offensive line sucks. There's nothing I can do about it, and I am going to take a team deep into the playoffs and be able to be competitive. Like, that doesn't happen. Tom Brady is by far the greatest quarterback of all time. Look at his numbers under pressure. He is literally the worst statistical quarterback in NFL history. Like, it's important to protect your quarterback, and it seems like only the Chicago Bears sit here and have this struggle or this mentality of like, we need to protect him, but, you know, Allen Robinson. I'd love to get a left tackle in here, but how's Brandon Marshall for you?
No, I mean, and I think that, like, we've all wanted to play revisionist history based on how the first 2 weeks have played out, about what they could have done differently in the offseason. But, like, if they spend those resources elsewhere, do they have a Keenan Allen in here? Do they have Roma Dunze? Who knows? Like, you know.
I haven't seen Connor Williams play yet, but you could have got Connor Williams.
Yeah, I mean,
that could have been an answer. I think the concern right now for Bears fans is some of the guys who, even the rookies, right, who are banged up now, Jackson Powers, Johnson, stuff like that, their answers that you feel are waiting in the wings. This feels like there's no answer.
And it is still early with that. Like, in if they don't give you some sort of semblance of an answer this week as to a, like, legitimate workaround, then I think it's fair. I think the criticism's completely fair. I think it's fair right now, but you got to give them time, at least, like, give them the idea of, all right, you guys are going to fix this.
Yeah.
It's going to look different. But I still don't think it's going to look that different in terms of personnel, at least until after week four. They're not going to start shuffling people around right now. They can't. They don't have the depth to do it because that depth is on injured reserve.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Like, you know, eyeing that date of going into the Panthers game or maybe even going into the London game, what are they able to do with Ryan Bates? What are they able to do with Larry Borum potentially at that spot? Could they bring them both of them back and then have, like, move guys around on the offensive line? Then maybe that's when you get the Tevin Jenkins moving back to right guard stuff. I don't know. Like, it's interesting to think about, but I think we're still a ways away from getting there.
Is there a, like, let's say it seems like, you know, we know DeForest Buckner won't be out there. Mm-hmm. I don't know how serious the Latulatu injury is, but let's say the Bears offensive line dominates this week.
Then you're like, all bygones.
Is the conversation just dead after that? Because then you're sitting there looking at it going, well, I hope you can dominate these guys in my mind.
I think there's the measured, you have to measure, like, who your opponent is, who you're going against, and, you know, can that carry over on a week-to-week basis? Like, you should be. Like, a team that's decimated by injuries, especially up front, they might be without one of their starting defensive ends this week, and DeForest Buckner's gone.
Yeah.
You should be in a much better spot, like, in terms of pass protection, in terms of being able to run the ball by having your guys go out and find work. Like,
yeah.
I don't know, though. It's if they don't, then those questions, it magnifies the problem if they can't figure that part out.
Here's the thing that we know, and this is just how the conversation is going to go. It started with Chris Morgan. There's always the scapegoat, right?
Sure.
It started with Chris Morgan, who, I mean, listen, 3 years in, I'm here to have the conversation as well, but that's your scapegoat for why Caleb Williams is struggling. The next person is going to be Shane Waldron and how he utilizes his personnel. If we have a struggling offensive week this week, there's going to be a ton of questions around your Bears' new offensive coordinator, especially with the fact that you had another guy in here that you could have brought in Gary, in Clint Kubiak.
Sure.
And he's dominating down there with your scraps of Lucas Patrick. And it's just like, hey, we figured out how to use this guy. You know, if you make him a guard, he's a solid guard. Like,
It's
through 2 weeks. I'm not that upset about it yet, but we'll see.
No, but that's a good point because of what they're doing down there. Like they had a lot of offensive line issues.
Yeah.
Two new starters. They benched Trevor Penning at left tackle last year. They moved into right tackle. They've made the adjustments within like their system, and they're also like taking pressure off those guys by running a lot of play action. Derek Carr is looking like a very early version of himself because of what that scheme is doing.
Yeah.
And you just kind of hope that, you know, those comparisons are always going to happen when it's like, well, you could have had this guy.
Yeah,
and he's
using
some of your former players to make this X, Y, and Z happen. And look at what your thing has. I mean, we hear it with Justin Fields right now.
Yeah.
Like, oh, look at what's happening in Pittsburgh, albeit it's a completely different offense.
We didn't need the James Daniels one, though. Like, nobody needed to bring up James Daniels. We're good. We're good, guys. I've watched him the last few seasons.
Yeah. But, like, if they don't start getting it together and other teams where it's like, oh, well, you could have had these people. You could have had this system. If those things look great somewhere else, then it just compounds the conversation even more as to – like things aren't great right now. And you know, they made the wrong decision. But again, I don't think people can fully have a judgment on that until like at least through the first quarter of the season.
Yeah. This is crazy to say with all the offensive struggles, I do believe this Bears team is probably going to win their next three games. Maybe that's wishful thinking, mm-hmm. but I'm just looking at who's decimated on the other side. Now, if injuries pop up for us, that's different. We can revisit all of this. But where the Bears are right now, the Bears' defense just looks like a better team. It feels 06-ish where, I don't know if offensively they can beat anybody, but defensively, I know that they can shut him down. They're going to make his life miserable. Andy Dalton's out there. That's all you need to know about that. You know what I mean? Like, and so I think that they can be in every one of these games and the offense can get enough. That conversation of now you're 4-1, you're through the first quarter, we know the conversation then will calm down on one side of the ball and it'll calm down on, you know, people losing their minds at Lucas Patrick having a good day. But it's still something where, to me, you don't have the fixes to change anything in the season. Are you going to hurt the development of Caleb Williams? Because if you keep seeing games like we saw Sunday,
you can't.
He won't be there by week six.
Exactly. I mean, you can't have that happen. You can't have him get sacked seven times and just act like, oh, it's a byproduct of, you know, early season ups and downs. Like, no, that's serious. Like,
by the way, all 11 guys is new. Is this a new thing? Have you heard this?
Which one?
It takes all 11 guys to block?
You know, I mean, I've they're always going to say that. I feel like they're, because they don't want to just solely pin the blame on the offensive line. I get it. But even still, who gives a shit who the blame's on? Like, you can't have that happen. You can't have him sack seven times. He won't make it through an entire season getting hit that much. Listen to what CJ Stroud said to him after the game. Like, stop taking those hits. And it was not at all, I don't know why people were so up in arms about that. It was not at all condescending. He's right.
Yeah.
You have to avoid that. And some of that, I know people are like, well, how much is on Caleb? How much is on play calling? How much is on the offensive line? Are there moments where maybe he could find his way out of like a situation where he's getting hit? Maybe. But like that, more of that's on pass protection. Who's responsible for it? Whether it's the offensive line, whether it's somebody else who's in there to chip, to block, whatever it is. And it's on the offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Eventually, if it looks this bad in a couple weeks, then you could probably start sharing more of that pie of blame with Caleb Williams. But right now, I'm not absolving him of it, but I don't think that that's a situation where he should be getting a bulk of the criticism right now by any means.
No, if I were going to put a pie chart together of blame, give me 50, 30, 20.
Is the math right on
is
that?
Is that math right? 50, 30, that's 80, 20, right?
Okay.
50, I'm glad. First off, don't, wait a minute. That was crazy, Courtney.
I was doing it in my head, too. I was trying to make sure he added up. I'm not good
like,
at math.
She was like, he can't count. There's no way
no,
he's
I mean,
got
I was trying
this.
To make sure. I was trying to help you out there because I wasn't sure of it either. I don't know if I could have done that on the fly.
Give me 50 offensive line because I think that's a position you basically just ignored and you were like, it'll get better if Caleb throws the football quicker. He's eighth in the NFL. in time getting the football out. He was sixth in the NFL last week. You know what I mean? Like, he's getting the ball out quick. We're not worried about that. He's still getting hit. 30, because Shane Waldron, like, I'm sorry. After my quarterback gets hit the fourth time, you got to change your scheme up. And that seems to be the one thing that over the past few offensive coordinators we have, they've been very stubborn on that. You need to go, hey, my guy's getting killed back there. Let's throw a couple blocks. Let's throw Mercedes Lewis, Roschon Johnson in there. Y'all help him block. Yes, I have less receivers out there. And I know that the receiving crew right now is thin. But I got DJ Moore out there. And if I put DeAndre Carter on the other side, I feel better about that because my quarterback is back there protected.
Sure.
Figure out some chips or whatever it is so that he can get out. Yeah, I mean, like, you got to figure that stuff out. That's your job as the OC. And I do think 20 of it is on Caleb. I'm giving him the least right now because dropping him back for 57 passes.
I understand
the interception. Do I want him to throw the interception? No. But Caleb Williams then goes into the mindset of, all right, they want me to make a play. They keep telling me to pass the football. I got to make a play. Mm-hmm. I got to put us. We're down 9 here. We got to go down there and score. So I understand why he's trying to make the big throw, why he's looking for the Superman play. Because that's what he did at USC. So, like, I know your bingo card wasn't me defending Caleb Williams behind a bad offensive line this year, but that's what you're going to get all season.
But, I mean, in some of those things, I know that he does not feel that there's stuff he can get away with in college that he can't get away with in the NFL, but he's learning. Yeah. Like, he may not be comfortable admitting that just yet, but there are things that he can't out-athlete everybody else. He's not the best athlete on the field anymore. You have a great, like, you go up against really good defenses every single week.
There's not an accountant on the other side.
And yeah, like, you're going to get humbled on that. I think he's learning that. That's normal. We expected that. But it's like, if we're projecting this thing out 3 or 4 or 5 weeks, you can't see some of the early season moments like that show up again later on.
No,
that's not growth from learning how to do it in college to the NFL.
No, you've got to eliminate the mistake. I mean, listen, if we're being 100% honest, if he doesn't throw the 2 turnovers, the Bears probably win that game. And I don't know if you heard this yesterday, Kyler Gordon said the ref told him that if they had called it an interception on the field, they wouldn't have overturned it because there wasn't enough evidence to overturn it. That would hurt. That one hurt a little bit. I was like, that's a win, man. That's a loss, but it's a win. But, like, you're when you're talking about moving forward, right, if you just don't mess up. That was week one. Caleb didn't screw up. Mm-hmm. Did he play well? No. But he didn't screw up, and the Bears found a way to win. I think that is going to be the next couple of weeks. I don't know if, like, all of a sudden, the Panthers game is the one to me where you can say, all right, pencil them in for, like, 350 and 2 tutties. But outside of that, they're so bad. It's impressive how bad they are. But outside of that, I mean, like, you just want to keep seeing him get better, finally throw a touchdown.
Yeah, that'd be good if you know what I mean? This week. You imagine him going, like, 3 weeks without throwing a touchdown?
Has there been a rookie quarterback that's thrown one yet? It seems very interesting early. Jaden's all field goals.
Bo Nix is not.
Bo Nix looked horrible out there. That was a stark difference from, those are the three. Because Drake May's not playing. Mm-hmm. And who's the other one?
Michael Penix Jr.
He's not playing. No, Minnesota.
J.J. McCarthy
got hurt. He got hurt. Yeah, everybody's out. We need a touchdown this week. Give me that, Caleb. Give me that at least. And he's put you in position for him.
Yeah.
He's driven you down there and got you in position for him.
His guys have to catch the ball. That happens again. Can you imagine how frustrated he's going to be? And for good reason.
He's going to DJ Moore. He's going to just helmet slam, stale face on the sideline. Which, by the way, guys, I wanted to say this on the podcast. I've had to tell my guys yesterday. That's just DJ's face.
Yeah, I think it's like a really stark misrepresentation of who he is because he didn't do anything. Yeah, like everybody loves him. Like he wasn't doing anything on the sideline that, I don't know. I was just so surprised that like people ran with that and he wasn't slamming his helmet down. Did he go on his back and kind of roll over and take his helmet off? Yeah, and then he went to the sideline. I think really people got upset because they saw whatever it was that he said to Tyson Bagent and thought, okay, this is the wheels coming off. He's upset with Caleb Williams. And then from there, you see him sitting on the sideline looking pretty sullen. But he said, he's like, that's how I normally am.
That is
like,
literally.
He doesn't show a lot of emotion that way, which I'm like, okay, like I have RBF. So like, you know, am I angry all the time just because I look like I am pissed? Like
are
that's,
you?
No, I'm not. Oh, okay. Neither's DJ Moore. Like,
I was going to say, maybe that's just superpower. I don't know.
It's just a weird thing that, like, some of the, like, weird ancillary stuff after the fact, whether it was people getting mad at CJ Stroud for trying to be a nice guy.
Yeah.
And Caleb's reaction to it, people are getting upset about. And then DJ Moore, it's just weird. Can we play a game?
People have gotten weird with the, like, first
everybody's
off,
a body language expert.
The lip
now.
Reading is hilarious because it's just like, I need you, dog. Get out there. It's like, what? You think that's what he said to Tyson Bagent on the sideline as he's walking back?
You think other
people wouldn't hear that, too? You know what I mean? Like, come on, dog. And then, what was the other? When we were in the locker room yesterday, DJ was like, he did media, went to his locker. Yeah. He's sitting there looking the same way. I wanted to snap a picture, but yeah, be respectful. But I literally was like, it's just his face.
Yeah, I don't understand why people ran with that, but
and
he
it was,
handled
it, was
it really
Keenan,
well.
It was Keenan on the other side, like, well, he's teaching him what he can and can't do. And I was like, well, Keenan's not in the game. Like, he can't talk to him in the huddle.
Yeah.
So he handled it well. I thought he did a good job with it. It's some of the stuff that gets picked up, I'm not going to lie. Bizarre. Like, being in the building, it is hilarious. Like, when you actually talk to him, it's like, so what's going on? And they're like, nothing. All right, cool. Good to know. You know what I mean? What's your final prediction for this game on Sunday, Courtney?
I'll pick the Bears to win. You know, I don't think, you know, what did I pick last week? 21-17 Houston?
You did.
I think it's 27-21 Houston.
Okay.
So, I don't know. I mean, offenses are down right now. So, like, I don't know if I'm going to pick a score total that high. I'll do 21-17 Bears because I just feel like this is the week where you can, if you can't break out with your running game, there's a serious issue.
Are you in the Mel Kiper camp here where
the too high safety
thing? You got to eliminate too high safeties because passes are too difficult. The offense is down.
Then run the ball. Run the ball. We should see a resurgence of running backs in the run game.
I just love Greeny going, no, I get it. I was like, I don't. You want to eliminate a play in football?
No, there's no way. There's no way. That was a little silly this morning. But no, I mean, I think 21-17, I think the Bears will win on the road. They should be able to stop the option stuff with Anthony Richardson. They have the athletes on defense. They have a better defense. They're healthier. And if you can't run the ball this week on this defense, there's a serious problem.
You got problems. I need 100 yards out of DeAndre Swift. And I'm not talking about on the season. I need 100 yards on Sunday out of DeAndre Swift and a touchdown. Listen, $8 million. Don't be giving the ball to Khalil Herbert to run it in. I need 10 touchdowns out of the $8 million for a running back. I'm not starting this conversation. And we're drafting punters. For Courtney Cronin, it's your boy Pat the Designer. Back at it again. Let us know your thoughts, your final score prediction in the comments below. As always, hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. Bear down. One love. Peace.